Thank you all for joining me and us this morning. Like I said, the party might have been great, but we're going to talk about racing and technology. So this is a lot better than most parties. So I'm going to talk a little bit about my startup and what we've done. Hopefully you all will be patient in that. Towards the end, we'll talk a little bit more about the technical stuff in terms of how we're pulling it off. But the main point behind what I want to cover today is the fact that we're doing all this stuff, and the only reason that we're able to do this stuff is because of Azure and the ability to build things so quickly and easily. After we cover the stuff, I'll reiterate this, but another main point is that if we, my co-founder and I and our small team and I would have tried to have pulled this off 5-8 years ago, it would have been damn near impossible. For us to have done this, just because of the infrastructure that we would have had to have laid and built. So that's kind of the main point behind all this stuff and kind of what Microsoft wanted to talk about. So I'll just dive into it. It's not working. Clicker's not working. So I want to talk a little bit about our team again to reiterate is that, so my name is Gama Aguilar. I'm the co-founder and CEO of 9104 Studios. It's a very, very small startup. I used to work at Microsoft and my co-founder as well, and we started to dive into this and try to do something around technology and motorsports, of which my co-founder and I are super passionate about. So my co-founder and I started this thing, and then over time we started adding some engineering resources. So the top row of people here are engineers, and then we have a number of advisors in motorsports and just in general that have been helping us go. In terms of our actual engineering effort for more of the discussion today, our team is small, but that part of our team is actually even smaller because I'm not an engineer, right? Like I'm the non-technical co-founder of our business, and I'm technical enough to be dangerous and break stuff, but I'm not the actual one that's architecting or developing this stuff. Our actual engineers are these four people. And for the majority of our time, as we've been working on stuff, they weren't full-time on this. So what I'm gonna show you guys, everything that we've built was basically built around by these four individuals. And when we think about how much resources we actually have in terms of full-time dedicated resources, it's really basically the equivalent of about a person and a half. So it's really, at least for us, it's incredible in terms of what we've been able to build. And again, I mentioned that at the very beginning is that if it wasn't for Azure and services like Azure and the platform that we've been able to build, it would have been damn near impossible for basically 1.5 people to build what we've built. So let me get into what it is that we're about. So we're going to talk a lot about racing, but the actual underlying thing, the actual underlying technology that we're after, we're trying to address what we believe is a big intersection between two macro level kind of variables that are happening in the market. One of them is this massive explosion of data that is happening because of the actual hardware that's being developed and what's happening in terms of just the trends in society. So with athletes and individuals in general wanting to get more and more data about who they are and their performance, et cetera, we see that happening. And at the same time, we're seeing changes in technology and in usage behavior around video. So we see more and more video being created, high quality video being created, and in most cases, not just created for the sake of being created, but to actually be shared. So we believe that there's this massive intersection of there's a bunch of data being created that people care about. There's a bunch of video that's associated with that, and we're trying to take advantage of the fact that there's an opportunity to automatically combine and share that data together. So that's where our core technology is focused on. We believe that it's going to be a significant thing in the future and starting to show some fruits now. So our goal is basically to unleash the power of that data and the video together. We believe that, and for a lot of you all that might be engineers out here in the audience, we've seen that when people start looking at data for motorsports, but just in analytics in general, a lot of times people who don't have that technical of a background or data sciences background, they really, really struggle with understanding what squiggly lines and bar charts look like. So we believe that having that video that goes along with it will be able to help data be that much more digestible and actionable. And then we also believe that from the other end of it is that we believe that video can be that much more engaging when you have the data that goes along with it. So at the very, very core of what we've done is we've built this thing. And our thing, what it does is it takes data from any set of sensors, anything, wearables, so smartwatches, external GPS sensors, accelerometers, heart rate monitors, et cetera. It takes that data. It takes the video from any camera source. So, and I'll show you guys in a second here, we built it off a smartphone. So basically, we're able to take video from any camera source. And then we automatically synchronize that data and video real time. So our goal has been, again, is to take that stuff real time, synchronize it, and then do things like stream the data and the video real time so that you can have people can be watching it for both from a fan standpoint or from a coach standpoint. There's a lot of scenarios that could be lit up. So we have that. Or you can also instantly watch that data and video right after that person is done doing that activity. So now we're going to dive into racing here, but I wanted to cover that because this is basically the core of our IP and what we've built. So the very first product that we've built, it is called TrackAttack, and it's made for racing. And in the most simplest terms, it's basically, from a user standpoint, it's a GPS-based lap timer where people take their smartphone and they're able to go onto a racetrack or really anywhere, any road in the world and start driving, and they're able to get lap times and record video with it, really basic stuff. So for motorsports, and then we have it out on iOS, Android, and Windows. So I'm going to show you guys a demo of how this works. And the demo video that I'm going to show you guys is based off of testing with Alex Jobe Racing or Team Seattle, which is one of the professional racing teams here in IMSA. They race in the GTD category. So we were out with them back in April, I think, was one of the last times we were out doing a full day of testing where they were testing and we were along for the ride. That's the picture that I took, which I'm not a great photographer. So I was like, hey, this is a good picture of what the car looks like. It is this badass car. So it's a Porsche factory GT3R race car. So I'm sure you guys have a video here of that car in action and our solution in action. So what you see here is a still of the output that is created from our application. What we have going on is a few things. The very first thing is there on the bottom right is you have a phone that's basically serving as like the central control unit that's taking in the data and the video from all different sources. We have on the dash this $60 external GPS that's sampling at 10 times a second. And that's the same sampling rate that basically almost all high-end motorsports solutions use. So we're getting accelerometer, speed, and GPS data there. And then in the rearview mirror, it's really hard to see, but basically we have a GoPro camera that's recording the video and having that be the video source. So I'm going to play a quick snippet of the output, but basically, again, this is Team Seattle out doing testing at Sebring International Raceway in Florida. And this is a badass car. So let's do that. So this is playing. This is a little bit of a unique situation for most of our users in that this team doesn't necessarily need our app to be able to get to have lap times. So we have it mounted more on the right there. But basically, the experience for most of our users is that they end up mounting the phone somewhere where there's a view in sight. They're able to drive and see good lap times as they're driving, predictive lap times, et cetera. And then once they're done, they're able to immediately look at their lap times and start doing some basic analysis of their performance and literally view their sessions just like this. So this video, the way that it was generated was that after the session was done, the driver came off, we transferred the video from the GoPro automatically, and then literally selected a lap and started playing the video, and that's the video that was created there. We were able to view it there, and then we were able to export that video and create this video. So that literally there was almost nothing that was that needed to be done by the user. So let's see here. So again, you're able to have immediate playback. The other thing is, and now we're starting getting into the Azure side of things, is we enable the user to be able to go home or anywhere where they have a strong Wi-Fi connection and upload the video for their session. So as the driver is driving, if they've enabled the feature, their telemetry data is being streamed to the cloud and being showed and or at minimum being stored on their account. They're able to go home and then say, hey, I want to upload this video so I can store it and then be able to share it. They upload the video straight from the from their phone via Wi-Fi, and then our we have some worker solutions on Azure that then take the video and using the telemetry data from that session, split it up into the individual laps, and then anywhere from 20 minutes to a few hours, depending on the size of the video itself, it becomes available online. So the user can immediately view the video with the data overlay, lap by lap, and then and share it that way. So basically, there's no no video editing required, basically nothing. All they need to do is drive, upload, and then that stuff becomes available. Yeah, go ahead, go ahead. So the question is, just for the stream, is how do we match up the data with the video, right? So that is basically our IP. So we created this thing, this container, that as the data is coming in from the different sensors and the video is coming in, we basically have logic to automatically synchronize it down to the frame-by-frame level. So we basically can imagine it as we have a video file, and then we have another file full of telemetry data, and then we wrap it with logic, and then that logic is basically our core IP of how we're automatically synchronizing it down frame by frame. Does that make sense?
It does, but I guess I was a little confused because it sounded like some of it was getting pushed up. It sounded like the sensor data was getting pushed up immediately, and then the video was getting uploaded later, or is it all getting uploaded together? I guess I was a little confused by that.
Yep, so the question was, is the data and the video being uploaded all together or asynchronously?
Well, I mean, at the time of the event.
Yeah, so both the scenarios exist. A scenario exists where, as the driver is driving, only the telemetry data is uploaded as the lap is completed or it's being streamed. And then later on, the video is uploaded. But because we've created this wrapper around it, that logic is uploaded real time. So whenever that video gets uploaded, we already know how to basically synchronize the data and the video together. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that here in a second. One of our biggest development and what we're talking about, talking with IMSA about, is a scenario where both the data and the video are being streamed together. Our main point in terms of our IP that we've created is that once we've wrapped a session with that logic, we can synchronize stuff real time or later. It doesn't matter, right? So as long as we have that logic, we're able to synchronize it. So just to recap again, you drive, you come off the racetrack, you can immediately play back, look at your data. You can upload your video to store it and share it. And then once it's processed, then you can share it online. Nothing to do. We've also done a couple of things, where we're showing, we've created kind of an analytics type of experience. We're in beta right now. It's a Windows app where we let people then get off the racetrack and then they have a Windows 8.1 and above tablet or PC. Then all of their data, if not including video, if they haven't uploaded yet, is there available. And now we've made it a little bit easier for people to start analyzing their performance with a big emphasis on the video. One of the biggest innovations that we've had is, I don't know how much you all are familiar with racing, but a segment analysis is one of the most significant analyses that exists in racing, where you take a racetrack and you break it down into individual segments. And then you get, start analyzing and start seeing, like, all right, well, how consistent are you across the segments? How fast could you be if you were able to put together all of your fastest segment times into one lap? And so that's the ultimate fastest lap that a lot of drivers and teams are chasing. And up until what we've created, it's been, it's a theoretical fastest lap. So it's theoretical, but it's been really hard for people to imagine what that actually looks like. But because we've created this object that combines the data and the video automatically, we're able to take the video associated with all of those fastest segment times, stitch them together, and basically create this video that actually is, this is exactly what your theoretical fastest lap time would look like. And what we're seeing is that drivers are basically taking that, going into their race cars, putting it in front of themselves and on the steering wheel, and basically visualizing it and driving that over and over and over again as a way to be able to try to program that kind of performance into their bodies. So that's been one of the biggest things that we've done. Again, really focusing on combining the data and the video.
Are you aggregating that so you can say this section, other drivers go faster or slower than you, or are you kind of like ranking the different segments with different drivers?
So yes, we are. And that's part of what we'll get to here in a second of, no worries. But that that's part of my buildup as to like, and I'll talk about it in a second of, you can look at this and say like, all right, this is a cool application. But what's cool, what we think is cool about it, and the reason that Microsoft has asked us to talk about this is that it's not just an application. We've built it from the very beginning with the cloud in mind. We've built it with the cloud built into it. And therefore all that data always gets aggregated. And so that way we can light up scenarios exactly like what you're talking about. So before I get into that though, this technology works for basically racing, but it really works for anything. It works for anything that moves, and there's compelling video that goes along with it. So I'm gonna play a quick video here, and this is four or five different concepts that we've created for a variety of different sports. So again, it's our first product is around racing, but it really can work for anything that moves. So let's see if this will work. That, of course, it will not work. So let's pull up the raw video. Why would it work? So again, our first product has been around racing because we're racing geeks. But a lot of our, our investors, for example, they believe, and we believe as well, is that this stuff will work for anything that moves. So it's not just limited to racing. So now to get into some of the questions that were asked just a second ago. So what does Azure have to do with any of this stuff? And our answer is honestly is that it has everything to do with this. So we built this application from the very beginning. It took us a lot longer than it would normally take to build an isolated application with the cloud in mind, and we built it on Azure. So our goal has always been to make sure that this data and these experiences are not just isolated to just the phone and application, but it always gets aggregated to the cloud. So then therefore we can do the things that were mentioned there and by the individual audience of like aggregating the data, helping teams, individuals, businesses, et cetera, slice and dice the data in different ways where people can really, really engage with it. So all the stuff is being uploaded, all the stuff is being stored in the cloud so that we can create those types of experiences. Specifically, the services that we're using on Azure are the blob storage to be able to store almost all of the data. We're using SQL Azure to be able to manage and analyze some of the data. We're using media services so that when this the video is uploaded, to be able to manage and encode and re-encode the video. We're using the CDN network to be able to basically build a YouTube so that once that that video is uploaded, it gets encoded, et cetera, then it's basically available and streamable worldwide to any number of users. And then we're not just using only Azure stuff and only Microsoft Stack stuff. So we're also using Firebase for an experience that I'll show a video of here in a second. And we're using a solution by Wowza. I don't know if any of you all are familiar with Wowza. Wowza is a high-definition video streaming solution that there's probably a pretty good chance that IMSA uses their solution for streaming, both recording on a device to upload and stream online, and then streaming from the cloud into individual devices. So if any of you all had ever streamed anything from ESPN, for example, yes, no? No. So ESPN uses Wowza as their streaming and encoding solution for all of their broadcasts. So my main point behind this is that, yes, we use a lot of Azure stuff, and we're pushing it quite a bit to the limits with the type of data that we're pushing and the size of the videos that we're talking about. We're talking about people uploading 10, 15, 20 gigabytes of videos per a racing session. But then we're plugging it in pretty damn easily with a bunch of other third-party solutions as well. From an architecture standpoint, what ends up happening is as the user is creating, recording the session and creating data, that data gets uploaded up to SQL Azure, and or the records of it get uploaded up in SQL Azure where we use it to manage that data. We have a number of different worker solutions that we've deployed on Azure. One example being that video encoding, where we take the logic, the data logic of the lap times, and then we slice the videos into individual lap videos. Then we use Wowza to be able to stream the video if we're streaming. We use the blob storage to store all of the video and the data files themselves. Media services for the video distribution, and that kind of ends the workflow for a non-streaming solution. When we're talking about streaming, then basically it's very similar. The only difference is that we're using Firebase to do the real-time streaming, and communication from the device's recording up to Firebase, then to our server, and then back down to any receiving devices of people who are watching it. And that's kind of this part right here, where we have all that stuff. Our goal is, again, is to be able to get it up to the cloud, be able to aggregate it either real-time or afterwards, and then be able to have views into it for fans, coaches, et cetera. So that's from a technical standpoint, what we're doing. And from an actual racing standpoint, like, why is this significant? We were talking right before the session about professional racing and what's going on there, and again, we partner a lot with IMSA here in North America. And if any of you all have ever attended a professional level race, what you would normally see is a lot of really awesome cars on track, but then a bunch of engineers in the pit box. And they're sitting back there with huddled behind a bunch of screens looking at live telemetry. Well, that telemetry of how the car is doing, where the car is on track, how the car is performing, the driver's performing relative to other drivers in a race, the solutions that are behind those experiences are super, super expensive, that require a ton of dedicated hardware and a bunch of engineers just to get up and running. Not only that, but most of the time, at least even in IMSA, the racing teams only get that type of real-time telemetry with video only on race weekends, because a lot of the infrastructure that's provided to enable those experiences is provided by IMSA themselves. So when they're out doing testing on their own, they don't have a lot of those things. So what I'm going to show you guys next is a prototype of what we've been building out with IMSA and with a couple of the racing teams, and I'm going to show you a demo of what we were live streaming back in April when we were out there with Team Seattle. And so as that car was driving on the track, we had, you know, the two gigantic 18-wheelers and the full race engineering team, et cetera. And they were basically sitting there on their hands because they didn't have real-time telemetry. until we showed up and basically equipped the car with a smartphone and a camera and a GPS sensor. Then we started to be able to get a real-time telemetry, and I'll show you guys what that looks like now. So, this is our one of our beta applications where, again, as that car was driving on track, we were getting real-time lap times, track positions, segment times, et cetera. And again, we're only piping through in this demo some pretty simple data, but it's what I really want to emphasize on here is the infrastructure that we've built to be able to do this. Basically, this is the infrastructure that Formula One teams build where they pipe through a lot more data, but basically to enable these types of experiences. So we were able to build this, not easy, but relatively easy compared to what it costs for those types of solutions with, again, really, really hardcore, dedicated hardware and a lot of infrastructure to make it happen. And just to be able to explain what's going on here, we have lap times as the session was going on. We had already created segments for the individual for that track. And then we have a speed trace that's showing here. And there, these graphs are a little bit offset because we were working on the, we had a minor bug on the order in which the data was being received. But that's really what I emphasize here is that we were able to get live streaming going on when a fully functioning professional racing team did not have it on its own. What we were trying to get done for this session and trying to make happen was actually to integrate video to go along with it. We got about 90% of the way there, and our limitation right now is just the GoPro cameras themselves. They have GoPro has not published or made readily available APIs to be able to stream high-quality video from it. So what we actually wanted to do in this session was not just have a video playing of our live telemetry, but actual the live telemetry of hopefully Team Seattle out on the racetrack driving, and we'd be able to watch their live telemetry come in and their video, but we weren't able to do it, so I apologize for that.
Have you solved that dilemma yet?
We have not yet.
The reason I say that is because I was trying to do something similar with bicycle racing, and it's really difficult to get video live streamed off of a bicycle.
Yep. So the question was, have we solved that the dilemma of being able to stream video yet? So we have solved it for streaming a video off of the smartphone itself. It's easier to access that that stream of video and be able to the stream of video from within the device to be able to grab it and stream it online from the integrated camera. What we have not been able to solve yet is being able to access the stream of video from an external camera, like a GoPro, mainly because the stream of video that they provide is of lower quality. So technically, yes, we were able to do it, but it doesn't look that great. So what we were focused on is trying to be able to get the near full HD video quality to be able to stream that. So so to recap, yes, we've solved that. When we're recording using the phone's camera, we have not solved it yet, at least with GoPro, to be able to use an external camera.
So one more question. So yeah. Are you using LTE or are you trying to use Wi-Fi for your data and or your video?
Yep. So the question was, are we using LTE or another basically pipe to be able to pipe the data and the video? We're using LTE. So we're using whatever is on this phone for streaming non-video data. So this video demo is an example. We were able to get away with basically 3G. So streaming non-video data, it's not that heavy. And we're not talking about Formula One cars. So I believe, if I recall correctly, a 1 hour race for this type of data was around, I think it was around 12 megabytes total for a whole session. So non-video data is actually pretty trivial. Video data is pretty significant, but we've been able to stream it from the phone with just 4G. So with LTE, we're actually in pretty good shape.
Okay. So
Yeah.
So as more and more cars adopt this on the track, aren't you going to choke your cell network?
Theoretically, yes. Sorry, so the question was, as more and more cars adopt this on the track, aren't we going to choke the cell phone network? Theoretically, yes. In practice, we haven't seen it yet. So most of our users are enthusiasts and club racers. So we've had one personal experience is I've run around 40 different cars using this on a race weekend, no issues at all. What I do imagine is similar like when you go to a football game in the US here, and everybody, or a baseball game or a basketball game, where there's such a big concentration of people that are trying to access the cellular network, I imagine that will be an issue. And that's actually the biggest thing that we're talking with IMSA about that they're struggling with is they would love to be able to use some of the things that we're working on, but on their race weekends when they have so many people there, it does tend to choke up the network. So we're working through that, and then we're also banking on 5G being the next generation of cellular network where we should be able to get a wider pipe to be able to get more data in there. So, at the end of the day, what we've ended up doing is what we've built is about 80% of the actual functionality of what you typically see in a Formula One pit box. We built a YouTube clone of, in terms of uploading massive amounts of video. We've actually even surpassed a lot of the YouTube limitations where I don't know if any of you all upload stuff to YouTube or not, but if you ever try to upload something that's 10 gigabytes, good luck, right? Like it's actually a significant challenge to be able to upload that size of a video. So we've done that. And we've done that honestly with the equivalent of about 1.5 engineers in over a 12-month period of time. And that's what I wanted to focus on here in terms of what we've done is that we've done some pretty crazy stuff with not that many resources and over a relatively short period of time. And if it wasn't for Azure, again, going back to what I talked about at the very beginning, is if we would have tried to have done this 5-7+ years ago, this would have been damn near impossible. But because of Azure and the types of solutions that we're able to build out of the box, and the things that we're able to build on top of that, we've been able to do this with actually really, really limited resources in a pretty short period of time. And we think it's pretty incredible. And there's already a bunch of other really cool stuff that we're gonna try to take advantage of with some of the recent announcements with Wowza, and then recent announcements with their now being able to use virtual machines with that have more higher end graphic processing units. So we're super, super excited about that. I actually think this went by faster than I would imagine, but that's really it. So what I wanted to show you guys is we're doing some really, really cool stuff in racing and in kind of action sports, but we've only been able to do it because of the power of Azure. So that is really it. Question? The question is, who are our competitors? There's a couple of lenses to that. In motorsports, our main competition is, I think about it as like, ironically, like the Microsofts of the industry, where there are companies who build data acquisition systems that sometimes also include video that cost a lot of money in terms of the hardware, cost a lot of money for installation and configuration and to use. So there's companies like that, Motec, AIM, there's a couple of other smaller ones, but basically those are competitors from that standpoint. There are some other apps that do GPS-based lap timing, but most of them do GPS-based lap timing, not really focusing on the video aspect of it, and then sure as hell not thinking about it from an end-to-end solution. Most of the things out there are basically solutions on a phone that you can go and use on a track, and that's basically it. The other side of our competition that we believe our competitors are honestly is companies like GoPro, where we're trying to leverage the fact that most people have those cameras and they have a smartphone. But yeah, if GoPro were to ever decide to integrate our type of functionality into their solutions, that would suck for us, or would be very difficult. But does that answer your question? So the question was, just for the stream, is the phone app itself our core and where we're really investing in? So it is not. Our core in terms of where we're hoping to grow is actually licensing out this technology that enables people to take data from any set of sensors and video and automatically synchronizing it. So we don't believe or... we're delusional, but not delusional enough, but to believe that we're going to be able to build all of the experiences that this could work for surfing or snowboarding or skydiving, et cetera. So we're going to build a couple or a few solutions, but then our hope is to actually go out and license technology to have bigger players that have more established customer bases to build out their solutions. In terms of motorsports itself, at the professional side of racing, the business model, it is still actually more of licensing, but it's for different reasons. These professional teams, they don't need another data acquisition system. They have plenty of that, and they have dedicated engineers to go and do that stuff. We're not going to go and try to displace that type of intense stuff. But what we are able to do is take our solution and enable them to create experiences, not for hardcore data engineers, but for fans. So similar to like the gentleman in the audience here that was watching the live stream, we're able to take this and provide a more immersive or a better experience for people to engage in. So when we're talking with the racing teams and we're talking with IMSA, yes, they're interested in a little bit about it from a technical standpoint for their engineers, but the vast majority of the interest is like, this will enable them to have increase the amount of fans that are engaged and deepen the engagement. Yeah. Any other questions? Back there?
So your IP that you use in the growth area, does it exist on Azure or would it work in this environment?
Our IP, the object itself, does exist in Azure. It exists in the client applications themselves. To synchronize the data and video, and then we replicate it in Azure to make sure that when things are synchronized, that we're able to synchronize them again. It does not require Azure, so it can and does work in an offline environment. And then we choose right now because of we chose to put it in smartphones because that's what everybody has, but technically and theoretically, it could work in any piece of hardware. We just built it into smartphones.
Can you speak, I don't know if this will give you much detail, but can you speak, what language did you use to write the
So the question is, what language did we use to write the object? So initially, right now it's written in all three native languages. So. But we originally wrote it in C++, so C sharp. But we've replicated it in Java for Android and in Objective-C for iOS.
And so you didn't use JavaScript maybe on top of like a put-over solution. You need to go native for the first game, basically.
Yes. We are actually also rewriting the entire experience in Xamarin. Yes. So we're about halfway done with that right now. We write it in Xamarin so that we can have one code base to be able to run across all of our end solutions.
Sorry, one more question.
Yeah.
So are you able to also match up external cameras that are like looking at the cars as they're racing around the track?
Yes. So the question was, are we able to match up external cameras as they're like a cameraman, right, type of angle. So the answer is yes. Basically, the object doesn't care about where the camera is, as long as it's tied to a session, it'll synchronize it. So it could be as crazy as we've thought about and are working on solutions of taking what I showed you guys and then wrapping around the entity of a race or an event, and then enabling people to, with drones, for example, to connect themselves into that event and then be able to record and broadcast from different corners. So now you have streaming and tied to an event, the data and video from a car, but then you also have the video from all the external sources.
Does each one of those need to be connected to your to a phone?
Right now.
Done after the fact.
So the question was, do all those things, the drone as an example, need to be connected to a phone? Right now, technically yes, they do, because that's the engine that we use to be able to basically bind it to our logic. So yes, but there's no reason that it can't be done after the fact as well. Yeah.
So I guess when something like that, I mean, you could probably use something like Wi-Fi from the drone to the phone, right? And then
send it on to the cloud. Yes, yes, absolutely, yes. And I think you had another question?
Oh, no, I was just talking about
it. Okay. Any other questions? Cool. Well, I hope, thank you guys all for coming out here on a Friday morning. Go check out the racing. It is some really awesome racing. If you guys aren't fans of IMSA racing, it's some really awesome stuff. And hope to see you all around. Cool. Yeah, thank you.